Well, on this Super Sunday, I thought it would be a lot of fun to have a conversation with three of our First Colony members. But all three of these guys played in the National Football League. And right here beside me, I've got Jordan Black, and then we've got Billy Granville, and then Curtis Duncan down there. Jordan was an offensive lineman, offensive tackle. Billy was a linebacker, middle linebacker, and Curtis was a wide receiver. And great players, great guys. College ball, Jordan played for Notre Dame. Billy played for Duke University. And Curtis played for Northwestern. So strong academic schools. And Billy, you had something to say about these three guys playing for high academic schools. I'm going to put you on the spot here. What'd you say?
Well, Notre Dame, Duke, Northwestern, I would not say it's because of our academic giftings and accolades that we were accepted into those fine institutions. So
you're saying your athletic ability had a little something to do with it.
Our athletic ability had a little bit, just a little bit.
Okay. Hey, guys, why don't you take a minute and just sort of introduce kind of what you're doing now. Tell us a little bit about your family. Okay. So, Jordan, start with you.
My name is Jordan Black. My family is seated to my right over here. We've got five kids, and we're in the process of adopting number six. I'm currently the head football coach at Fort Bend Christian Academy. Other than that, that's about it.
And actually, you coached Billy's son, Zion, and who recently signed a scholarship, National Letter of Intent, with Illinois State University. So Billy, why don't you tell us what you're doing and about your family?
Good morning, church family. My name is Billy Granville. I've been a member, my family and I have been members here since 2006. We love our church family. This is, the local church is where it's at. And so we just love First Colony. We love the leadership and just continue to thrive in this spiritual family. So my beautiful wife, Gretchen, and I, we have six amazing children. Life, Elijah, Zoe, Love, Zion, Josiah, Macy, Grace, Maximus Gunther, and Champion Gunther. They're all wonderful, wonderful kids. I have a financial services business. I work primarily with private companies and family-owned banks throughout Texas and Oklahoma, and just provide various services in regards to key employees.
Very, very good. Thank you, Billy. Curtis.
My name is Curtis Duncan. My wife, I'm married to Meredith. We've been married a long time. we have two boys, Graham and Schaefer. We've been part of First Colony probably the last 20, 25 years, and we love it here. I'm a CPA. I'm the corporate controller for the Port of Houston.
Okay, very, very good. All right, I've got several questions. Yeah, there you go. Thank you. Yeah. So I've got several questions this morning. We'll see how many I can get through. Some are going to be fairly serious. We'll talk to them about their faith. And then some may be a little fun, a little curiosity. Let me just start with something we need to know. Who are you pulling for tonight, and why? Jordan?
Well, I think I can speak for everybody up here. We relate to Tom Brady because he's an older guy. He's very, very good looking. And he, like us, has a supermodel wife. So. No, but definitely I appreciate what Tom Brady is doing. He has been in half of the Super Bowls for the last decade. I should be a little upset because he single-handedly decreased my chances of ever going to a Super Bowl by 50%. But at the same time, I played for the Chiefs as well, so really I don't have a dog in the fight. I'm just a casual observer.
All right, Billy.
I want to go with the gray beard. I'm going with the old man, TB12, and I'm a huge Star Wars fan, so, you know, the Jedi Master is always beaten. The Jedi, so That's what I'm going towards.
Okay. Curtis?
I'm going for Kansas City. My brother-in-law is a big Kansas City fan, and I'm trying to keep humility in the family. But Andy Reid was, the last month and a half I was in the NFL, I was with the Green Bay Packers, and Andy Reid was the tight end coach with Green Bay at the time. So there's a connection there, and I'm really pulling for him.
All right. So now, all three of you guys, you're strong believers. Talk to us a little bit about the influences in your life. Maybe just pick one or two significant influences in your life that, you know, have shaped your decision to begin to follow or to follow with, you know, greater intensity, follow Jesus. Some of those influences.
I think an example that stands out to me, when I was a rookie in Kansas City, you know, I wasn't where I am today in my walk, but a real good friend of mine, Brett Williams, another fellow offensive lineman, we were just at a movie, him and I, and I'm sitting there watching the movie, and something inappropriate is on the screen there, and I'm not really paying attention to it. Well, I am paying attention to it. I shouldn't have been. But I look over at my friend Brett, and he's got his head down, and he's averting his eyes from the screen, and it was just so powerful. Literally, that what he did changed my life. He didn't know it had an impact on me for years until I finally told him about a decade later. But seeing a small act like that from a person that truly loves Jesus, that walks the walk, it's just, it's so powerful and so profound. So it can be something very, very, very small, but that guy had a huge impact on me.
Excellent.
There's a lot of influences in my life. I just wanted to point out the book, The Purpose-Driven Life, Pastor Rick Warren in California. That book was an eye-opener for me. Everyone should read that book. I remember the first words in that book, Ronnie, he said, "It's not about you." And just kind of hit me. But tremendous book, was a huge catalyst for my growth and my walk with Christ.
Very good.
For me, it happened when I was in undergrad. I met a guy. I was an inner city guy from Detroit, and this was a guy from Boston, from the suburbs of Boston. And he asked me one day, who are you serving? And, you know, I was 18 years old in college, and I had a pretty bad attitude at the time. And he said, look, I don't know who you're serving, but I want you to come to a meeting. And that meeting turned out to be the Fellowship of Christian Athletes. And that's been the primary vehicle that took me from where I was then to where I am now. God has been good to me, and it's through athletics that I was able to make that journey.
You know, you were talking in our first service today about how that, you know, the faith factor is actually pretty strong in the NFL culture. Talk to us a little bit about some of the some people that you've encountered along the way, maybe even your college career, but certainly in the NFL, some folks who kind of stand out to you. They were just pretty inspirational people, maybe a coach, a teammate, even maybe somebody you were, you know, across the line of scrimmage from. Curtis?
I had great coaches and I had great teammates. When you bring up people like Bruce Matthews, Spencer Tillman, Cody Carlson, and then there was Billy White Shoes, who was a coach for me during one of my summers. But I have to say, as a person, Jack Pardee, who's the head coach my last 5 years in the pros, he was a man who lived his faith. You know, he was an Aggie quite naturally, but he lived his faith, and he was just a nice man. And it's something, and I was telling Jordan about this earlier, to be a coach and people are looking to you and you're bringing them Jesus. And that's what Jack Pardee did for us. He was quiet, didn't bother anybody, but he brought that sense of Jesus to us.
You know, I didn't bring this up earlier, but, you know, one of the more infamous episodes in Houston football history occurred several years ago when our defensive coordinator took a swing at our offensive coordinator. And I saw a replay of that just a couple of years ago, and it really dawned on me for the first time that Curtis was actually standing right between them. And I've always wanted to ask Curtis, what did you say to create that conflict?
We were praying for each other. That's what it was. We were praying.
Actually, if you ever see that clip, it's like it catches Curtis by surprise, and you actually were instrumental in kind of breaking that thing up. But you're welcome for me bringing that up.
Thank you very much.
Okay. Billy, you're going to talk about some inspirational folks.
When I was here with the Texans in 2002, I was really inspired by Jimmy Herndon and Tony Boselli. And both those guys were with the Jacksonville Jaguars, and that team went through a revival and through the Champions for Christ ministry. And I believe several men from that group are pastors today. And so I was just impacted by their passion and their zeal for Christ.
Excellent. Jordan?
So being a coach, I recognize that in my playing career, I made some mistakes, and I coach in a way that no young man will repeat the same mistakes that I made. Now, later in my career, being around a guy named Aaron Campman, who came to Jacksonville from the Green Bay Packers, Pro Bowl defensive end, but for the first time in my life, he actually told me, you know, when you play football, yes, it's a game, but it's only important if you go out on the field and do it for the glory of God. And thinking about that and discussing that with him, what anxiety do you have when you take the field if you're playing for an audience of one? You don't have to worry about what John Madden is going to say. And for those of you younger, John Madden no longer does Monday Night Football. But anyways, I'm dating myself. You don't have to worry about what people think. You don't have to worry about what the coach is going to say in a meeting about your performance. If you can look yourself in the mirror at the end of the game and know that you gave it your all, and you gave it your all to glorify him, that's what's important. And I just wish that that's a lesson that I would have learned as a rookie.
You know, that's I really appreciate you bringing that up. And also bringing up the fact that, you know, a person who's a teacher, who's a coach, has such a significant opportunity for impact and influence in the lives of young women, young men.
Amen.
But also this mindset that there's really no dichotomy between the secular and the sacred, that yes, I work for the Lord, but you work for the Lord too. And whatever we do, to have that mindset that we want to do it with excellence, we want to, you know, we may not can do our absolute best in every single thing. Sometimes you have to know exactly when, where, you know, okay, I need to compromise a little bit here so I can excel maybe in these more important areas. But that everything we do, we have an opportunity to honor the Lord and do it to the glory of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Okay, here's sort of a little bit of a fun curiosity question. Several folks kind of wanted me to ask, what does an NFL player do during the week? You know, Sunday is game day. What in the world do you do Monday through Saturday? It's kind of the same thing people ask preachers, you know. Sunday, well, what goes on Monday through Saturday? What's a pro football player's life like during the week?
I think Curtis took this one this morning.
Okay, so, you know, we play on Sunday. Mm-hmm. On Monday, there's a walkthrough. So we go in just to walk through, just to get the aches and pains up. On Tuesday is our off day. On Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday is like the hard-hitting days. We go right back into the pads and we're hitting. And then during that day, we get there about 7 or 8 o'clock, depending on if you're trying to nurse an injury. So if you get there about 8, you're watching film, maybe 2 hours, 2 or 3 hours on your opponent. And then we get together with the special teams, just how it was with the Oilers. And then we'll watch film, maybe 2 more hours. And then we'll have lunch. Between 11:30 and 12, we have lunch. After lunch, we'll watch more film. And then after that, we go out on the field, we practice everything we learn. And then after we leave the field, we would come back and look at more film. And the good thing about that is, by the time I played my opponent, I knew exactly who he was. And this is important because when I played, we didn't have social media. We didn't have the Twitter and the Facebook. But I knew my opponent very well because we had statisticians would go around and pick up certain information about those players. So I knew everything that I needed to know that I could use against you during the week. I knew whether you was left-handed, right-handed. I knew your parents' name. I knew your siblings' name. I knew what school you attended. I knew everything about you. So when we played on Sunday, I kind of knew who you were. So it was a full week of just knowing your opponent.
I'm going to chip in. In Kansas City, just to kind of describe to you our work day, my wife and I, we were with some friends, and we had to leave because I had to go to work. And I made the comment, oh, I got to go to work in the morning. And our friend laughs and says, work? You don't have a job. And in my mind, I'm thinking, yeah, I only have to battle the biggest, strongest, scariest people on planet Earth day in and day out. That's not a job. So anyways, I have some bitterness there. but yeah, most days it's a 12-hour work day, 7 to 7, other than our off day Thursday, and it's a very grueling business.
Billy, what would you add?
It's well said.
That's good. Yeah. So, was it difficult for you to make the transition from professional athlete to a quote-unquote normal person with normal routines? Was that a difficult transition? And what do you maybe miss, if anything, from your playing days?
I'll take a stab at it. I would say it's extremely difficult, the transition, just because when you're dealing in football, high-level Division I football, the NFL, I mean, that career and the intensity of that career really becomes a big part of who you are. So, you know, transitioning into the real world, it's almost like a death. So you kind of have to have a funeral of your kind of football career that you've been doing, you know, since you were, for many of us, like 7 years old, 10 years old, to, you know, what, you know, 30 years old. And so that's a very difficult process in kind of transitioning.
All right.
Yeah, for me, it wasn't as difficult. And I want to be honest with you, I didn't consider myself to be a football player anyway. It was one of those things, God gave me an opportunity, I was able to play, so I was always preparing for my life after football anyway. And, you know, I had great mentors, like some of the people at this church, and I had people that always told me, hey, you got to get ready for life after football. And that's what happened. It was easier to make that transition, because I didn't know if I wanted to be there in the first place. That's the truth.
I would say it was hard, but at the same time, I think it was God working on me. After my last year in Jacksonville, I was out of football, and I had made the decision, okay, yeah, I'm done. I had already started losing weight. I was probably down to, I don't know, 265 pounds. I was teaching class. I was teaching class here, actually, and my phone in my pocket was just blowing up, and I ignored it. After class, I checked. It was my agent, and he's like, hey, Washington wants you to come play. And I was like, well, tell him I weigh 265 pounds. And if they say, come on, then I'll go. Well, anyways, my agent told him I was 280, and I decided to go play another year. So I kind of got it out of my system. But the funny thing is, like, literally 2 weeks before I got that phone call, I was cleaning out my closet, and I had my Jacksonville helmet. And I said to my wife, I was like, man, I miss it. And then having the opportunity to go back and do it again, I told her that I miss just taping my fingers up before a game, before practice and stuff like that. And then he gave me the opportunity to go back and play, and all those little things that I took for granted, I could now enjoy, and then got it out of my system, and the rest is history.
Okay, there you go. Now, you guys, all three of you, you're men of strong faith and deep faith, You guys love the Lord with your heart, with your soul, with your mind, and with your strength. And you guys take your assignment as your assignments as husbands and fathers very, very seriously. Talk to us a little bit about the values that shape your family foundation. You know, what values are you trying to, what's the essence of the essence you're trying to pass along to your children?
I do the four. Love for God, love for family, love for country. Be excellent at what you do. Love for God, love for family, love for this beautiful country, and then just be excellent. So talk about love for God, I always think about the Apostle Paul. I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. It's the power of God unto salvation for them that believe. So we talk about that. We talk about love for family. We talk about love for this country. Don't apologize for loving this country, even though we may have, you know, it's not perfect. Love this country. Don't apologize. You want to have an American flag on your Twitter handle, then do it if that's what you choose. But love God, love family, love this country, and be excellent. Whether it's sports, whether I have a daughter that's in nursing school, my oldest son is in accounting and finance in Indiana, be excellent at that.
Outstanding.
I agree. I try to teach my boys, you know, definitely love Jesus. First and foremost, love Jesus. And then say, hey, love your family. You know, at times, that's the only thing you will have is your family. So you love Jesus, you love your family, and you work hard. Be the best that you can possibly be. But I take it a step further and I tell them, hey, you got to love people. You got to meet people where they are as Christians, and you got to love them.
Amen.
Billy and Jordan, we come from different backgrounds. We come from different places. We have different values, but we all share the blood of Jesus. And that's our commonality, and that's important. And I hope my boys and I hope everybody else I talk to understand that's where the bond comes, the love of Jesus, and that's the blood we share.
Amen.
So to echo what these guys are saying, man's chief purpose is to glorify God. So that's number one. As far as like my family goes, as far as the boys that I coach in football, the Latin root for virtue is a word vir pronounced weir, which means man. So it used to be at one time that manhood and virtue were synonymous. They were woven together. So I want my boys to grow up and be men of God that are virtuous, that live their lives with integrity, that are fearless, that are courageous. I just want them to live their lives with a sacrificial intensity, to know that they are a living sacrifice. And it's a little different for the girls, but the same thing is true. They're a living sacrifice, and I want them to just glorify God in everything they do.
Thanks so much. I mean, really very encouraging, very inspiring to hear what all three of you had to say. Guys, would you have any advice for young people, young women, young men who aspire to athletic excellence? Would you have any words of caution, any advice or caution to parents in that regard?
I'll take the first stab at it, and I don't want to come across as harsh, but I'll just speak in the truth and love. I'll talk about athletes first and then talk to parents. So as an athlete, and this is countercultural to today, value team goals over personal goals. You go on social media and all these athletes and, hey, look at me, look at my stats, look at this, like, have you won anything? Oh, no, we didn't. Team goals. Value team goals. As a church family, value team goals. What is First Colony striving for? What does God want out of First Colony? Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and then he'll meet our needs. Value team goals over personal goals. The second thing I would say is that's similar to that, to the athletes. Help lead your team to a championship. Be a part of leading your team to winning. Team goals. Third thing I would say to athletes, aspire to be the captain of your team. If you're in team sports, aspire to be the captain of your team. For parents, get out of the way. Stop coddling. Don't coddle these young athletes. We're talking about athletes that want to aspire to high level. Do not coddle them. Allow them to experience adversity. Allow them to experience failure. Allow them to be coached hard by a man like this man right here, who is a man filled with love and filled with God's spirit, but he's gonna coach them the right way. He's not gonna be easy on them. He's gonna bring out the best in them. Don't coddle them. Let them experience failure. Let them experience adversity. Get out of the way. Don't be standing in the way between your athlete and the coach. Teach your athlete, your son, your daughter, if they have an issue, let them go to the coach and have a conversation. Don't you call up the coach and email him and I want to have a meeting. No. Why is that important? If you coddle your kid, and this, even outside of sports or football, if you coddle, if you do not allow them to experience failure and adversity, if you don't allow them to be under someone like Coach Black and be coached hard, they'll never develop the grit and the mental toughness that you need if you want to play at high levels. The National Football League, I don't know if y'all agree with me or not, but to me, that league is more about mental toughness and perseverance than it is about physical toughness. So if you have a young athlete that is really aspiring to compete at high levels, how does God grow us up? By making us all have a $1 billion net worth and giving us everything we need and making it easy? No, to grow us up, he allows us to go through challenges and adversity. So as parents, I feel very strongly about that. You have to kind of let go, let them build that toughness, let them figure it out. It's okay to let them cry. It's okay to let them go through that process. And then they'll develop that toughness. They'll develop that strength. They'll learn how to overcome obstacles. And then they'll be ready to perform at high levels. Because once you get to a high level and you have great athletes, like this guy's 6'5", 6'6", and can dunk a basketball, everyone's a good athlete. But it's what goes on in here and what goes on in here that's going to make the difference.
Thank you, Billy. Outstanding. Jordan, Curtis, would you add anything to that?
No, I agree. I totally agree with Billy. I think one of the benefits God had blessed us all with was the ability to play on a team. I think that's so important. There are so many lessons in playing a team sport, and I agree with Billy totally. You have to let your children go, and you got to let them grow. And I'm glad I was able to play a team sport. I'm glad I met these men who I support, and I'm also glad I met the coaches that I had and had the teammates that I had, because it's with those other experiences that helped me become who I am today. So I'm very thankful for that.
To answer that question, I'm going to butcher a C.S. Lewis quote from Mere Christianity that my family has heard a lot in the last few weeks. But seekers of comfort find misery and despair, but seekers of truth find it as well as comfort. So whether you want to be an athlete, whether you want to be a child of God, we don't look for comfort. As a matter of fact, we should expect discomfort, but it's often in that discomfort that we will find this crazy thing called peace. So don't spend your days looking to be comfortable. That's not where it's at.
So true. All right. We're getting close to kind of winding down here, but very, very quickly, want to close with something here and just sort of ask, guys, I don't want you to be bashful. Don't be modest. Do you have a favorite highlight reel play where you were amazing? I know you got lots of them, but if you're going to pass along one play, one moment where you were absolutely fantastic, what was it?
Every play I ever played. I mean, no. At best, I was a mediocre football player. But one time in particular, my second year in the league, we were playing Baltimore. I think it was a Monday Night Football game. We were struggling. We really needed to win against a good Baltimore team. Inside the NFL had Ray Lewis mic'd up for the whole game. And if you go back and look at that Inside the NFL episode, you know, Ray Lewis is complaining the whole game that he's being double teamed, he's being triple teamed. And they would take one of his quotes and then they would show the video of when he was getting double teamed. And it was like Willie Rove or Brian Waters just pancaking the dude. Well, who was it? Will Shields, the left guard, he had to come out for like three plays. And I wasn't starting at the time, but I was the first guy up. So I'm in at left guard, and we run a zone play to the right. I step right, head upfield, looking to block on the second level defender. And I don't know who it was, but I just smoked this guy, right? And he's on his back, and I didn't think much of it. It was Ray Lewis, and split his nose. So I was, you know, happy about that. But
all right, so he's a young guy, so Curtis and I, we're with the old Republic where football was actually really violent and a lot of hits. So I could give you a lot of examples where I got laid out and I've got the scars and everything to show for it. But as a linebacker, you know, you always dream of those big hits. And I used to watch these videos, NFL Crunch Course, and watch Butkus and Sam Huff and all these guys, Mike Singletary, and always just dreamed of getting those hits they call the snot bubblers. Is that you hit someone so hard that you see the snot come out of their nose. So those are my highlights, just being able to get as many snot bubblers as I can.
I have to say, I'm glad Jordan was on offense, and I'm glad Billy was on defense. let me tell you, these guys are great. And with me, it was a little different. You know, I played with a bunch of great guys. I mean, you know, I played with Hall of Famers, so they were good in their own right. And I was just part of a big team. It was one incident that I had with a little kid. And he was about 7 years old. I met him up in Indianapolis. We were playing the Colts. We had just beat the Colts. And I was headed back to get on the bus. He was about 7 years old. He said, Mr. Duncan. And I turned around. He said, can you autograph my card? And I looked and I said, hey, man, I'm sorry. I'll do your shirt. I'll do anything for you. But I don't have a football card. And he looked at me. He said, yeah, you do. And he showed it to me. And it was that incident that made me realize the platform that I had as an athlete. And that was important. Not only did I sign it, but I gave him a hug and said thank you, because that was the incident that changed my life altogether.
Ronnie, now, as we...
Is it okay if I say something?
Yeah, sure.
So I know we're a praying church, and I just wanted to... very quickly, just put in a prayer request. My daughter Zoe, who is a volleyball player and in nursing school at Oklahoma Wesleyan University in Bartlesville, Oklahoma, she has a roommate right now that's going through a serious health challenge. Her name's Mackenzie Smith. She's sitting over here, Troy and Heidi Smith. And I just want to ask the believers, the prayer warriors in our local body, to add your faith with us and just pray for us that God would touch her and recover her and just help her through this challenge.
Thank you, Billy. Absolutely. Let's in just a moment, Daryl will come up and lead us in prayer. Curtis, let's close. Tell them a story. Tell everybody the story that happened. This happened to you. I think it was in Cleveland. You'd finished the game. Your mom, you know, from Detroit, your mom was able to come over to the game and was able to be sort of in the area where all the players are departing. Tell everybody what happened.
Yeah, you know, it's a situation where, you know, Detroit's only about 2 hours from Cleveland. And some of you guys have heard this story before, but, you know, every time I think about it, I cringe a little bit. We lead the game. We beat the Cleveland Browns. Man, we're excited. We're excited. We're walking down, you know, like the staircase to, you know, go meet our families. And I can hear my mother outside. She was like, here comes my baby. Here comes my baby. And you have guys like Jordan and Billy here. And I was like, oh, my goodness. My mother's embarrassing me. And she said, it's funny. I was like, Mom, you know, I gave her a hug. And I was like, Mom, you know, I'm a football player. You can't be talking like that here. And she said, just be quiet and give me a hug. But it let me know then, I don't care who you are and how old you are, your parents still love you. And my mom showed me love that day, and it was a little embarrassing, but I appreciated it at the time.
No. Curtis, Billy, Jordan, guys, thank you so very, very much for sharing this morning with us. Let's thank them.